Couple of scripture passages, and then I'm going to sing you a song, which is going to be quite shocking and surprising even for me, because I'm going to do it in language, and I'm going to ask you to do it with me. So I think you'll figure it out real quick, because we've done this before. But first, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 through 7, and then John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And 18, and it says this in Isaiah: I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And then in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Good morning, everybody. My name is Todd. I work for the Kalispell tribe, and I've been gifted with language from the tribe. About 5 years ago, I was given the opportunity to learn the language, and one of the things that they said, my supervisor said, is that if you get taken into this program, wherever you go, take our songs and take our stories with you. Well, he didn't know what he was saying that to, because I literally do that everywhere I go. I speak language. I sing language. I try to think in language. And I've been thinking about what could I bring to you, and I wanted just to bring to you some language today. So this is a very different sermon than you've probably heard before. For those of you who have not met me, I am working for the Kalispell tribe as a Salish school immersion teacher. So what we did 3 years ago is we started a school. None of us are certified teachers. We didn't think that that was the most important thing. What we thought was important was language. And looking back over how schools have raised native children, we didn't see a fantastic track record. So one of our thoughts was we couldn't do any worse. We think we could do a whole lot better. We think that our kids are going to be more successful if they know the language, if they know who they are. And that will prepare them for college as much as anything else will. So with that idea, we started a school, kindergarten through second grade, and since then we've expanded kindergarten to fourth grade, and my job has changed a couple of times during that course. Right now, I'm the administrator of the school and the second through fourth grade science, math, and literacy teacher. So it's kind of amazing what we've done in the last few years for the sake of language. And so for those who are aware of who I am, I want to say thank you, because the work that we've done has been like we would never have expected to be where we are today. So I wanted to come back and give back to you some language. And one of the things that we do, I haven't probably had the chance to show this to you in a while, but this is a songbook and a prayer book that was translated in the 1840s. By the early priests who came into the area. And a lot of the stuff that we do, we just take straight from here, because it's the words straight from the ancestors. It was the ancestors who helped them to translate this. So I find what is good, and I use it, and I don't look at the rest. And I think that's a fair way of looking at this. And one of the things that our children get to do is they get to sing the songs of the ancestors in the ancestors' language. And we've been finding more and more songs. And one of the songs that we did is called Keksimpielsiu Keksinquinim. And it's a song that was always sung on New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve. And it was a time when you'd get together and you would shake everybody's hands. And at that point, you shook your hands, you forgave the people for whatever had happened in the past year, and you moved forward. I'm not going to sing that song. I am going to sing a song that you know. It's called Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. And so this is, O Come, All You Faithful. So will you just sing with me the chorus part? And I'll do the rest. So here's the chorus. Swamistwi. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Kwikschawinti. So Swamistwi is, O come quickly, Kwikschawinti. We're going to pray. So we'll do that three times. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Ke ilmihum, our chief. So that's the whole course, okay? So here's the course. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Ke ilmihum. Now that's what we're going to do together. Here's the first verse. Swamistwi chinin mitsinam lamptwi yen pielswi. Swamistwi, swamistwi, luchabet lehem. Atschanti kul, kutunt ilmihum. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Ke ilmihum. Unau kulen sutan. Till in huist at sahui usits cool till pachti chamish. U now kelau ke wichtum squusses. Everybody. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Ke ilmihum. Estuk il supulel. Lu il hui hui ultsitus. Uswe yo pio at quail meest hul kempele. Et cheta keslach. Suwe utax chaminchis. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Swamistwi Kwikschawinti. Ke ilmihum. Could you imagine singing this song 100 years ago together with the people that lived in this exact spot? Pretty cool. It didn't happen as much, but it could happen in the future. And that's something that we have a chance to be thankful for. The song that we sang earlier today was in all the languages, all the peoples, declaring the glory of God. I don't know, it exactly said the glory of God. That's what's on my mind. But that's exactly what we've been singing. And that's exactly what you get a chance to do and listen to today. I want to say thank you for all the prayers and the support for all that you do for us. This opportunity to be here is a chance for me just to give back to you. I want to say a special thank you to all the elders up on the reservation who've helped me with this language. One of the things that has been happening is one of our elders has been translating a lot of scriptural passages. So the John 3:16 I'm going to read to you in just a little bit has been translated. I'm going to let you listen to it in language. My goal, and I'm close, was to have this entire sermon all in Salish, and I'm getting there. People are like, well, why would you do that? Because people don't understand it. I'm like, well, that's okay. They need to hear it. The language needs to be spoken. This is the language of this area. But before we get to that, I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43 says, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The glory of God is the beauty of the revealed excellence of His perfections. It's His wisdom, it's His strength, it's His goodness, and it's His loving kindness and all of the rest of who God is. This is His glory. It's the unity of His perfections, and it's on display that we get to see. And then Isaiah says something incredible, which is mind-boggling if we take the time to think about it. He says in Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. You and I get to be a part of the glory of God. In part, in some small way, this means that I am a display of the glory of God on earth. Your son and your daughter, your grandfather and your grandmother are all part of the display of the glory of God on earth. And so is every Muslim. So is every meth addict. So is every Buddhist, and so is every bartender. God created every single person on mankind to display His glory, so that His glory would be made known and praised. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 20, it says, the wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Verse 23. That's where I want to be. Israel was redeemed and will join the mountains and the skies in praise. I don't know if you're the kind of person who likes to be outside. I like to be outside a lot. Whenever I get a chance, I would like to spend time walking in the woods. I like to go out, and especially this time of year, you can find animal tracks all over the place. I found a rabbit highway the other day where they were running around back and forth on the same trail in the woods. I think about that a lot. I think about the trees. I think about the moose that I get a chance to see. And then I think about the mountains, and I think about the river. You know, the Selkirk Mountain Range used to be called the Kalispell Mountain Range because it was named after the Kalispell tribe of Indians. And what people today call the Ponderay River a long time ago was called the Kalispell River. It comes out of the Flathead Lake, comes traveling this direction, flows back up north into Canada. Between Cusick and, I'll say Missoula to give a reference, but really closer to Arlee, the Kalispell people had 11 bands. So the Kalispell tribe today you may think of as a small tribe up in the northeast part of Washington, but actually it was quite a large tribe that had 11 different bands all the way across that river. So the Kalispell sign language for themselves are river paddlers. So if you were to do the sign language for the tribe and you were to introduce yourself, you would say, Chin, my name, and then I am Kalispell. I'm a river paddler. I think about that a lot because the glory of God is displayed. The rivers, the mountains, the wild animals rejoice at the display of the glory of God. But it's not only Israel who's going to declare the glory of God and can be saved for the glory of God. Today, it's all of those who trust Him. All of those who eat and drink and do all for His glory. So 1 Corinthians 10:31. And trusting God is at the heart of living for His glory. It says in 1 John chapter 5, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has faith has been born of God and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Being thankful to God is living for His glory. In Psalm 100 it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come to His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name." So being thankful is a way that we can live for the glory of God. What's amazing is that our good shepherd told us that He had other sheep. And I think about this verse often. It says in John 10:16, Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." The glory of God is not just for the nation of Israel, but for all who would believe. And who's going to go out and find those others who are going to believe, that are on display even now for His glory? The Good Shepherd. And we get to be a part of that. God's glory will be revealed to others, and those others, some will believe, and some will be saved, and some will enter into His glory. And that's the gospel message. That's the Christmas message today. It's the message of salvation that is found in so many of the different passages of the Scriptures. For example, John 3:16, which I'm going to read to you in just a few minutes in the language. So if you want to open up your Bibles to John chapter 3, I will tell you a couple of quick stories, and then I'll read it to you. Not long ago, I was working at a church. I should rephrase that. It's been a long time. I was speaking at that church not long ago. I was working at this church. It was probably 1991 to about 2000. And there was an elder there. I'm telling this story because it's a powerful story to me. He was in his 80s. His mind was as sharp as could be. His body was failing. And he would call me over and he would say, "Todd, come talk to me." And he was learning Greek, biblical Greek in his 80s. And he wanted to parse verbs with me. Oh, man. That was interesting. But what I got out of it from him was the stories that he would tell me. And I wish I would have listened and asked more stories. One of the stories that he told me, and this is just up here where the Little Spokane River comes out at Chatteroy. He said when he was young, and he grew up in this place most of his life, at this right across the from the street from the church, he would wake up in the mornings, and oftentimes there would be native people camped right across the river. Right across, they call it a river. To me, it looks like a creek. The Little Spokane, and it came through by his place. And he said, "I would never know when they were going to show up, and I would never know when they were going to leave, but they would be there." And it was throughout all parts of his life. And one time I was traveling with an elder up on the reservation, and I said, "You know, there is a person who told me that there was a camp, that the native people, the Cowspells, the Spokanes would camp right there." He goes, "Oh yeah, that's true." He said, "That's true. That's where my aunt was born." His aunt was born right across the creek or the river from where this elder lived. And then the elder told me, he said, "Yeah, back in the old days, we would travel down to Spokane and we would camp at that particular place on the river. And then we would travel just a little bit further, and where the North Division Hill is where the ladies would stay camped, and then the men would keep traveling all the way down into where the river is now and do the business." So there was a route that came down through this whole area. And it stopped right there. Well, you think about this whole area. Chief Gary spent his last few years of his life right in this exact spot, right in this area. He spent a lot of his time down at Peaceful Valley, and then he lived out at Wolpenit, out that way. So this whole area is kind of inhabited with Native people and with language. And we ask this question when I travel places. And if you stop to think about it, how long have your family lived in this area? I teach at different schools on Fridays, and so when the teachers don't give me something to do, I'll spend time talking with kids about this. And I always get this answer. I always get, well, my parents came here about 100 years ago, or my parents' family came here about 100 years ago. And I was like, that's a long time. A lot of people, it's a lot more recent, 20 years, 50 years. Every once in a while, you hear somebody who said, yeah, my family's inhabited, been living in this area for 150 years. And then I say, how long do you think that the Spokane tribe has lived here? Or how long do you think the Kalispell tribe has lived here? Do you know how, if you were to ask that question to a Native person, how they would answer a question like that? Have you ever thought about it from that perspective? If you were to ask a Kalispell tribe member, how long has the Kalispell tribe lived here? They would say, probably since forever. Because as far back as they know, they've lived in this area. They haven't come from someplace else. This is where they are. And this is the language that they spoke. So whenever we start thinking in terms of language, whenever we start thinking in terms of ethnicity or start thinking about in terms of place, and how can we do ministry? How can we do the education that we need to do if we aren't place-based, right? We need to think about that. Let me give you an example of that. The Kalispell tribe of Indians had roamed bits and pieces of 4 million acres. They went up north across this artificial border that we have with Canada, right? Because that just is a line. It's kind of a make-believe line. Actually, you can see it if you go up there. They clear-cut a line so you can know where you're at. They go up that way, all the way over into the other side of the Rockies, all the way down into the plains, and then back up them this way, kind of an oval shape, over 4 million acres. And they've lived here for, 10,000 years. I don't say that to get people mad at me about the age of the earth. That's not a comment. When you think about something from a Native perspective, it goes back a lot more than 100 years. And so does the language. So when we have this opportunity to have an elder today translating the scriptures into the language that has been here for as long as anybody can remember or anybody's parents can remember, it's a pretty cool gift. And that's one of the things that I want to give to you. Some people say, well, people don't understand what you're saying. And I didn't bring an interpreter, so I will interpret some of the things that I wanted to tell you today. But I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it. And I think every church needs to hear this. I think every church needs to proclaim this. Would it make a difference in our schools if our children learned the language of their ancestors? Would it make more of a difference? Yeah. And would it make a difference if our churches were more Native friendly to be the people in the area? I think it would. And I think it would go a long ways towards reconciliation. So now that I've got your attention, and you're already in John chapter 3, I want to read this to you. I've got some other language that I want to give you as well, but I want to give you John chapter 3. So I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to go through verse 18. I chose this passage, and I chose this length of language to give you because I think you're familiar with it enough that you'll follow along with me as in your Bibles while I'm reading it, okay? See if it works. Chinax ilmihum hlutel suip es austum nicotim ilskuex uchuimis hlu jesu kuli suis mi insutum es mi stumt util kulen sutin uk tsuhui nechli tasuwe mkax achelum te anui hlu il kulst hlu neta ep chiepele hlu te kulen sutin. That word kulansut, and I want you to hear that, that is one of the words for God. Okay? In the language of the people around here, kulansutin means the one who made. Kulansutin. There's another word for God. It's amatken. Amatken. It means the one who sits on top of the mountain, the one who sits on high. And then another word for God I just spoke here was called Shiepele, and it means the creator, the guardian. So you're probably hearing Yezukli. Quinsintum to Yezukli. Tlu el unel qua Yesunum she tlu ta el kul she tax in ul il kulin sutin il sin tietin el tsuntum to nicotine. Il chin et chel tlu chinax tlu och pohot neu el kul. Hanem el in ul tlu il sin tsiltis tlu skuis el kul. So is to Yezukli. Quietsunum, tluneta, skul, to selwick, utasins, pacht, she tax il contel, lux in ulwi, il kulin sutin, sinlcietis, tlustim es kul, lutil skelch, she skelch, tlustim es kul til spach, she spach, tax ni helsmint, lutzutzen, kel kul now. Clutils pachpacht es chupelsum, clutin mintels, who has in selenum stem, clus welshis, utakes me stem, tchin ukechistemils, uchitachlus, uchichin est tachlus. Esia u et cheli, clucul tils pachpacht, quil quin hunsins te nicotim, utsuis, il chin umet cheli he. Suis lu Jesu kli. Anui suk mi meum utais mi stelchliha, quas unelhum ex kulqueltum luk es mi stem, quas meltum u im imisten lu es wichten utaques nun huene. She lu me melt lu te stem, yes tuliu utaquo es nun huenemens. U il chin im etz chel im she meilzen tlu kulun suten mkox nun huanument. Etz chel moi ish il chulew in wishel tlu lulk es chialk tlu huelulew il she im chin etz chel nemko in wishtam netlu tswe mko nun huanemis. M'she tax o osti. Nem es quilt wilt to es penchtum. And then verse 16. Nechli tluta kulin sutin, tlu chamenchis, tlu skalio u witzel, tlu each chenaxi, tlu squises. Tas kulst, tlu squises, kxchwelepums, tlu skalio, upen kxquil wiltums. Lusuwe lu ne nun huenemis, imshe u tax chweple, lusuwe m tax nun huenemis, e suis chweple, nechli tas nun huenemis, lu il chinax says kulin sutin. How cool is that? To be able to read John 3:16 in the host language, the host people, here in this spot. I know. It doesn't thrill you as much as it thrills me. But this to me is good news. This to me is the reason why you give to missions. This is the reason. So that the language can be made known. And it can be people can be presented into their own language. It's amazing what difference it makes. People don't always get this. People oftentimes think, yeah, but they live in America. Well, that's true. They speak English. Well, that's true. But this is the heart language. And when Jesus came and met Saul on the road to Damascus, what language did he speak? He spoke his heart language. And if you go back and you read to Acts, you'll see that Paul makes it clear. When Jesus came and spoke to him, he didn't speak to him in Greek. He spoke to him in Aramaic, in Hebrew. I think God wants to speak to us in our heart languages. And that's why this is good news. I would say that there's a whole lot more about this that I could go on. But what I would like to do is tell you a couple of things that I believe, and I hope that you believe. And if I could, I would like to do this a little bit more in the language. And so, it said, I would read this. Nun huenemen il kulen suten ke la au esia u es kulst. I believe in God our Father who makes everything. He is the one that made the heaven and then this earth. And just for a point of reference, once again, I want to remind you that I'm taking this from the prayer journal from the 1840s, which, by the way, makes whatever we have to say authoritative because it comes from the ancestors. It's not Todd saying these things. It's how the ancestors presented it. Nun huenemen il Jesu kli ichinax usquises ke elmihum u int quelt lutil sins pacht kul lutil stchmis mali u in chzamels lu il she u elmihum pons plot esmis chpt malk numtum il es emels u kalil. Lockentum, Welsh, u each team, Charles Kales, u til skellu, u til tim tim nay. I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the only Son of our Chief. He was conceived from the Holy Spirit, born from the Virgin Mary, and suffered at the time of Chief Pontius Pilate. He was indeed nailed with many nails on the cross, and he died. He was buried. He went down to a dark place. On the third day, he came back to life again from the dead. Es in wishul sucha schmasket, sakshul il schwest kulen suten leau, es ja us kulst. Nemel tsuhui, kes chemi epilems, su as quilwilt, u su as kalil. He went back to the Father. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father who made all things. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Nun huenemen il sins pacht. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Nun huenemen slu in quelsti slu teia. I believe in the forgiveness of bad. Nun huenemen nem esia slu isin skellu nem el til skellu til timne. I believe that all of my fellow people will come back again from the dead. Nun huenemen tlu in huilhuilten ta kebs hoi. I believe in the next life it will never have an end. There's more that I would like. Just a couple. Some of these are prayers. Quies putem Jesu cli, quies chaum nechali el neisntu, tluskeliu slutaan e meus uta ast alil. I honor you, Jesus Christ. I am praying to you because you paid the price for your people by your cross and by your death. Quies chimil comitza uchtilza, tlu Kultea chinst quin, hulkoye u kupulstum. All over your body it was torn for my sins. You were killed for me. To me, that's the Christmas message, that the baby born would come to save us from our sins. And it's encouraging to me to be able to see this and read this and contemplate this and share this in the language of the Kalispell tribe. So I want to say this as a way of thanking you for your support and your prayers, and as a way of giving you something to think about, something to listen to honor the language of the first people here following after God. If there would be anybody who would be interested in more of things like this, I'd be happy to share it. my supervisor made the mistake of telling me wherever I go, speak the language, share the stories, and sing the songs. And then you guys had the same misfortune of inviting me to come do it. So we're all in this circle together. And by design, I tried to tell this message in more of a circular fashion than you probably heard before, because that is probably more of a native worldview rather than just point by point by point, tell some stories, bring things together in a circle. Will you join me in prayer? Limlim shkulin sutin huasya kulst. Limlim shkulan we uas kuse. Limlim shkulasin spak duasin au outen. Limlim shkul ke sin chowman. Limlim shkulasya. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Limlim shkulin sutin hulna welshtin. Thank you, God, for the language. Thank you, God, for the Kalispell people and the Spokane people. We're truly grateful to you, but mostly we're grateful to you for giving us this son of yours to us. At this time of year, we think about the birth. We think about the good news that was delivered to us through the birth of this baby who would go on to change the way we think about the world. Thank you for delivering to us your good news, and in some small way allowing us to share, to be a display of your glory. Thank you for the woods, the trees, the animals, the mountains. Thank you for the rivers and the creeks and the stories that you've given to us to be able to see your glory and partake in your glory and display your glory. And we ask that this would go on, that more and more people would honor your son, that we would be able to honor him for not only being born, but following his entire life to the very end of death and burial and resurrection, and now new life. So we give you thanks, we give you praise, we say all this. In your name, God, amen. And now will you join me in singing